I had mentioned to you that we would start a topical study for the next foreseeable quarter of time, anyway. And how do we start a topical study of the Bible? How can we find that to be the case? I have an easy way of doing it because Brother Paul and training me in preaching the gospel of Christ, as you already have heard me mention, always said, based your sermons on needs of people. And base them on the needs of the circumstances. He said the needs are right in front of you as you watch TV, as you see a movie, as you see advertisements on the side of the highway, or as you see daily walks of life for the membership of what they face. And so speaking about those particular things and how to start a topical study of series, I wanted to raise this question, what's the benefit in preaching the gospel? In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, commencing at verse number 18 through verse 22, Paul instructs that this particular methodology of preaching pleases God. He said it pleases God by the foolishness of preaching to save those who believe. There are people who will hear that message and they will believe it and put it into practice in their daily walk of life and find salvation at the end of their obedience. But there are those, of course, who will not respond to it that way. They'll hear it as a sermon and hear it and judge it on the basis of how exciting it was, how thrilling it was, and how loud he got and how soft he got and how he delivered that particular lesson. Rather than hearing the word of God, it pleases God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. We find an opportunity to be people who serve God as we hear His word proclaimed to us. And as a result of the preacher looking at his own life and looking at his own way of life, he finds hope and salvation as well, because preaching is done not just to others, but to oneself first. And that's the better part of it. Because when we preach to ourselves, we know what to say and what to do. When we find ourselves hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ, we do better when we hear it in a certain way. We hear it with kind words spoken, gentle words that are used, and teaching words that are fulfilling. I'm sure you heard fulfilling and kind words today in regard to the lesson that Brother Koff presented to you, and that you could see and visualize the kind of things that he was so urging us to believe and to practice in life. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, it is said, "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation." In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. They had heard that message proclaimed, heard it taught at home in a Bible study, heard it from the standpoint of a tract or a booklet or a bulletin article that was read. And the genuineness of it said, "I'm here in this sin. I'm here in this black darkness of sin and wrongdoing. I want to be forgiven of that. I want to live in heaven someday. And as a result, I appreciate what's been said and done, and I want to now respond to it." In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. The word of truth is the gospel of our salvation. No wonder Paul would write in Romans 1:16, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God and salvation." Because it says the power of God and salvation. And we have a benefit that comes to our daily walk of life because we do that. Furthermore, we're taught in 2 Timothy 2:24 and 25, about the servant of the Lord, that he must not speak and be in a divisive way. He must not be a person who is striving. And by that means words. They chose that particular word because striving was originally not striving as on a football field, but striving was a part of a coach to get people to understand what was being said. And the lot of words that were being explored there. And he's saying, "You're the servant of the Lord, must not strive." He must not use a whole bunch of words to mannerisms, but that he must be a person who is gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient, in meekness instructing those who oppose themselves. You see, what we actually have in life when we're in sin, in darkness of sin, and making choices to be in sin, live in sin in our lives, is a case that we're choosing not to obey the Lord and follow His righteous way. We're choosing to be people who are enemies to ourselves. We're not enemies to the one trying to teach us. We're not enemies to the one trying to serve us and help us out. He is meek and gentle unto all men, and meek and patient with doing it. But He teaches those who oppose themselves. We want that person to be free from that. We don't want that person to go to bed at night saying, I'm guilty of this. I'm so guilty. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say with God. I don't know how to approach God. I don't know what I should be in life. But we want to give an answer to what it does to help us to be people who are faithful to God in righteous conduct in life. In 2 John verse 9, he tells us that when people do their disobedience to the Lord's will, the Lord's word, that this is the time where they break fellowship with the Father and the Son. When we come into Christ Jesus, we find ourselves in fellowship with the Father and the Son in 1 John 1, verses 3, 4, and 5. We find ourselves in a fellowship, in a joint participation with the Father and the Son. But when we find ourselves away from God, it's because we have chosen to disobey His word. And as a result of disobeying His word in what to say, how to work with our money, how to work with our time, how to work with our minds, how to work with our eyes. When we find ourselves disobeying the Word of God, we fall ourselves out of that fellowship. We're not working with Him in doing the right thing. We're working against Him, and we're out of fellowship with the Father and the Son as we disobey the Lord. So what we're reading about confessing the Lord and confessing our sins in 1 John 1 at verse 9, he's talking about not doing that and being people who are out of fellowship with the Lord in 2 John 1 verse 9. It's a sad situation to face in life. Brethren would encourage one another to be the kind of people that the Lord would say. And as we work with others and teach with others and talk with others about the gospel, let us remember the admonition that is so given to us in James' words of James 1 and verse 19. Every man, he says, ought to be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Every man, in a fellowship with the Father and the Son, every man is to be swift to hear, quick to listen. See what is being said. I know our habits and practices in this world in which we live has come to be a time where we presume what's being said and barge in on the middle of it and tell people, no, that's not the way it is, or whatever have you. It may very well be that they need to say all that they are thinking in order to get it off their chest, so to speak, out of their minds, out of their heart, out of their soul. And when we are swift to hear, we are hearing more than the words that are actually being said. Those words that are being said to us, we accept and we see and we sense that it's creating heartache within the person. If I'm swift to hear and slow to speak, slow to respond to that, not responding to just the mannerisms of loudness or the mannerisms of regret, but slow to speak in the hope of the soul that we want to give to people. Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to get mad, slow to wrath. Because these people along the way may not be as quick to give answer. They may not be as quick to accept what is being said. And as a result of not being quick to say what, accept what is said, it may be that that teacher is angered by the fact that why can't you see this and why can't you respond to it? Why can't you accept it real quickly? And the people themselves are in the midst of getting rid of that way of life, getting it past for them, talking about it, confessing it, being a person who wants to get free from it. and to help them with a passage of scripture that serves them to be able to get free from it is a real benefit in life. As we find ourselves in 2 Peter 1, 5 through 9, we read regarding people who have these various virtues of life. And he says to add unto your faith virtue. That's a strength. Add unto your faith this strength. And knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness and love. I know there's a lot of words there to say, but we understand the nature of those words are to be people who are filled with this rather than the other. Because he says, if these things be in you and abound, these things, if faith and love and hope and doctrine and deliverance, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We won't be hungry for it. We won't be waiting for it. We'll be filled. We'll be having people. We'll have wonderful blessings to come into our hearts and lives because we're obedient to the Lord, forgiven of the Lord, and cared about by Him. And because of that, we love Him and we care for Him. But he that goes on to say, he that lacketh these things, is blind, cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Look what this person has done. In days gone by, they obeyed the Lord. In days gone by, they were supposed to add to their faith, virtue, and knowledge, and temperance, and patience, and godliness, and brotherly kindness, and love. But this person chose not to add that to the life. Instead of adding those virtues of life that made them stronger, more able to see the future, more able to plan for heaven itself, and be an influence to others that see, whoa, you talk differently now and you act differently now than you used to. And instead of saying, well, I did that because of my strength and my personal vanity and everything, we could say, the Lord has blessed me. I took His word at face value and I began to practice it. We can say our past was of such nature that I didn't take His word, and thus I didn't practice that way of life, and that's why you saw me doing what I was doing, saying what I was saying, and being like I was in your presence. But I began to look at that word and look at what He said, and when He said there, add unto your faith virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience and brotherly kindness and love, I began to practice that way of life. And as I began to practice that way of life, I'm glad that you said what you said about me. You see that there's a difference in the way I talk, the difference in the way I serve, the difference in the way I work by your side, the difference in the way that I do things. Because that difference didn't come about just from me and my own strength. That difference came about because of following what the word of the Lord says to do. I didn't do that like I should have for a time. But since I've been doing it this way, you say that there's a difference in my way of life. I'm thankful for that. It may very well be that that person says the following then. Well, I'd like to know that way of life to live myself. When I go home, there's nothing but fumes and fusses and criticisms and terrible things going on being said one to another. It affects not only my wife or my husband, it affects my children as well. It affects our relationship to grandma and grandpa as well. And I'd like to have this way of life that would affect them to the better. I'd love for them to be able to say about me, hey, something's happened to you. You're different than you used to be. You're acting different. You're talking differently than you used to. And to be able to say to them, you know, it wasn't me. You know, I didn't decide to do it and just do it. But it was because I went back to the word of the Lord and I saw that in His word He said to add these things to my life. When I add these things to my life, my faith and virtue, the strength of my life, and add these things to my life, I'll have the knowledge, I'll have the patience, I'll have the love that the Word of God tells me to have. Even after all, when Jesus left his disciples, did he not say, I leave this with you, not as the world giveth unto you do I give you, but my peace I leave with you. That peace of the Lord that he leaves with us was not without an explanation to how that comes about. And that comes about not because we say, boy, I hate the way I've lived, I hate the way I've talked, I hate the way that I've done, and I just despise that way of life, and I'm going to be better. And we make a decision on our own, I'm going to be better. But the truth of the matter was that Jesus said, the world doesn't give that to you. You didn't get that from the world. This peace I leave with you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let your hearts be not afraid. I got his word and his teaching to direct my life. And as a result of that, I can be the person that the Lord would have me to be. This topic about why preach the word of the Lord and why teach the word of the Lord, because there are people who, first time that you preach it and teach it, they may say, oh, my, that's pie in the sky. That's something not really going to be beneficial to me. But then, maybe in the dark of the midnight, awakened from sleep, there's something about that message that was now in the mind of that person once again. And I consider it. And I rise up from my bed and I think about the Lord and I think about that lesson. And I ask the Lord's help to help me remember all that was said. Now, that we have a benefit in our day and time. We can go back to the internet site. We can punch the button on that particular lesson study. And we can hear that lesson again. And we can hear it in a good way, because we can hear it and we can punch a button and stop it in the midstream and go get a drink of water and come back and start it again right there at that very point, not miss a point that's been said and been made. And there are people all over this world that write to us and say things like that. They're thankful for the songs that we sing in Crockett. They're thankful for the lessons that we present in Crockett. They're thankful for the way in which they can punch that button and hear a little bit. And then a child gets their attention and they have to stop and go tend to that and then come back and they go back again and hear it again, or they can start at that spot, hear some more. And they're grateful for that. Well, I'm grateful that the people down in Florida that are not members of the church that I talked with and debated with in order to get the site are very happy and pleased that they can tell us that we've got hundreds and thousands of people month by month that come and listen. They intend to do that. And they're glad. And I'm glad that they manage it real well, because, believe it or not, we have people in this old world that love to do what we call hacking on the internet these days. I imagine, Brother Tony, you may have people that hack on IRS in days gone by. And that's a bad thing to have done. But hacking on it. These fellas down there in Florida, they have this type of equipment that traces back, whether it's in India or if it's in Spain or if it's somewhere in America. And they note to me that most of the time it's just somebody playing around. They love to have the real shock treatment of a person who clicks on CrockettMSChurchOfChrist.com and get that good lesson right there in front of them, and they click on it and they say, yeah, that's what I remember. But the first time that you click on it, they've hacked it in such a way that it doesn't come to the Crockett site. It goes somewhere in New Orleans. It goes somewhere in New York City. It goes somewhere in San Francisco. And there's a sideshow being done. There's a naked person there appearing. There's somebody explaining to you that you have chosen this site, when you actually didn't at all, and you know that you didn't, and you click off of that, hopefully you do, or they will, and say, I don't want to see that, I don't want to do that. And then they come back and click the second time on that site, it comes right to it. But the first time, it goes somewhere else. And they get a thrill off of that. They get the thrill of seeing that their notes, that they understand that somebody tried to do that, and maybe we sent them somewhere else on that first click. But then the second one, they get the message, and they're glad of it and thankful for it. Next time they come back to it, they don't do that every time because they know that they'll be caught. And they don't do it every time then, but they like to do that one time anyway. And then a few months later, maybe they'll come back and hack that site once again. If some of you listening on the internet site tonight, you know why. You went away somewhere else on the first click one of the months, and then a couple of months later had to go again. But the point is that we were teaching the word of the Lord, and we steadily are, and we're not going through some of those cities and places and some of those dives in order to get your message to the message of the Lord. We're going to the Bible itself to do that. Jesus taught us in our own personal lives in Matthew 26:41, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. When we do things according to the flesh and we stay with the flesh only, our drinking days have just begun. We've taken the first drink. Our sinful ways have just begun when we do the first sin of the flesh. It may be that we hardly ever in our lifetime can get free of that and get rid of that and get beyond that. Hopefully, because the preaching and the teaching of the word of the Lord about being watchful and prayerful will make a world of difference in how we face temptation in life. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Tempting is one thing. Birds flying over our head, as the old people used to say, is one thing. But building a nest in our hair is quite something else. Don't give them time to build a nest in your hair. Swat them back. Get them away. But birds flying over our head, we can't stop. They're going to be there. And there's going to be one of those things on television. There's going to be one of those things in the movies. That's why they give them an R rating, and they left it. You have that R rating. That gives them more people to come and look and see what that big thing is right there. And really and truly, it's a shame that that is the case, but it is the case in our day and time that that's what it is. If we'll be people who watch and pray, instead of letting the nest be built in our hair, we'll be people who watch and pray that we enter not into the temptation. We're not going to be in it, and we'll be beyond it. May the Lord bless and keep you. Thank you again for filling in for us today and being a part of this service. Thank you for your friendship and love. We didn't go over there to try out. We didn't go over there to be entertained by an interview of some kind. We went over there to see old friends and old friends' families. That 48 years ago, I would drive down from Oklahoma down to Yuna, which was about, I think Miss Jane and I figured out, about 25 miles out of Oklahoma down that way. We'd go out there on that roadside, and we'd meet up with those brethren. They had a preacher driving in from Houston or from Aberdeen or from Tupelo, but he couldn't come that particular Sunday for some reason, sickness, illness, whatever have you. Travel. He couldn't come. And they'd call up one of the brethren up there at Oklahoma and say, we'll switch our times. Instead of 10 o'clock Bible class, we'll have 10 o'clock preaching time, and then we'll have 11 o'clock Bible class down here. And if you, the preacher, can come, please. And they would call on me and send me down to preach there at that 10 o'clock service, and then they'd have their Bible class. As I left, got back up to Oklahoma and preached the 11 o'clock service up there. And so that was what we did. And I met a lot of old Staten family. I met a lot of old Lawson family out that way. And I enjoyed meeting some of their people still living. But a lot of the young people have passed on now. They've buried those people. And they're still faithful to the Lord and faithful in that congregation and faithful to come to a reunion time that was special in every way to me today. Thank you once again, and God bless you in every way as we deal these topics and these topical studies of how to preach, why to preach tonight, and then what to preach, and things like that. As we go along in the next few weeks of time, you will have those topics that will be serious topics, because we need to be people who are doing what the Lord says to do on each one of these subjects. If you're subject tonight to Jesus' invitation, as you come in repentance and prayer, as a brother or sister in Christ, you will have the effect and the benefit that old Brother Simon did back years ago when he said to Simon Peter, "Pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things you've spoken may come upon me, and against me may come upon me." And it'll be a new way of life. If you need to choose to obey the gospel tonight, then that time of the people of the day of Pentecost in Acts 2 and repentance and baptism into Christ will put you into a burial in his death and a resurrection to walk in newness of life. Come as we stand and as we sing together. Just as Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for listening to our prayers and for hastening to help us in ways that we may not see and may not understand how the answer to those prayers will come about. But we do know that they do, and we're thankful for Your providential way of carrying out that good thing in our lives that we're requesting. Be with us in every way in this congregation. Help us to resist the temptations that come our way in the strength of the Word of the Lord that You've given us. And be with us as we meet throughout this week and throughout the opportunities that we have in the future of this new year. In Jesus' name we humbly pray. Amen.